Our next presenter is Francis Larney with dissipation of three veterinary antimicrobials in feedlot manure stockpile.
Thank you very much, and thanks for attending this morning. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Danny Degenhart, Alan Cessna and Srinivas Sura from Environment Canada in Saskatoon, and Andrew Olson and Tim McAllister from Agriculture Canada in Lethbridge. The use of veterinary antimicrobials in livestock production, they're used therapeutically to treat and control or prevent disease, but they're also used sub-therapeutically as a growth promoter, enhanced weight gain to increase feed efficiency and promote healthier animals, and they're added in feed or water. In the United States, an estimated 12,600 metric tons of antimicrobials were used in 2007. And as we heard in our first presentation, guesstimates of up to 70% of the administered antimicrobials are excreted, are used to promote growth and feed efficiency. Growth promotion was phased out and banned in the EU as of 2006, the use for growth promotion, but that's not the case in North America. Up to 80% of administered antimicrobials and the metabolites are excreted in feces and urine. They may persist in stored manure, bedding packs, liquid manure in lagoons. And once the manure is spread onto land, the antimicrobials can be released to a wider environment. And they have been detected in soils receiving manure, in surface and groundwater adjacent to confined livestock operations. And there may be effects on terrestrial and aquatic organisms. In terms of what happens to veterinary antimicrobials, it's of growing public concern. Environmental issues related to water quality and soil health, and also the link to human health. A lot of the antimicrobials used for livestock are similar to the ones that are used to treat humans. And as we heard earlier, there's concern about multi-drug-resistant superbugs, which may not be true according to our first presentation. Feedlot industry in southern Alberta. Alberta has a large livestock industry. In terms of cattle numbers, it actually ranks fourth in North America, with 5.5 million head behind Texas, Kansas, and Nebraska. In southern Alberta, we have the county of Lethbridge, and it has a feedlot capacity of 700,000 head of cattle. Manure management options for feedlots, direct land application of raw manure, stockpiling where the pens are cleaned out and the manure is simply placed in stockpiles for application at a later date. And more recently, composting of the manure has gained increased popularity in the last 10 years. Today, actually, we're going to look at that stockpiling option, which in terms of intensive manure management is sort of in the middle between direct land application and composting. And we're looking, our objective was to look at the dissipation of three veterinary antimicrobials commonly used in beef cattle, and what happens to them during stockpiling of manure. We're looking at chlortetracycline, and it was fed to the animals at 44 milligrams per kilogram of feed. Sulfamethazine, fed at the same rate. Actually, it's administered in combination with chlortetracycline in a proprietary product. And then Tylosin was fed at a lower rate of 11 milligrams per kilogram of feed. What we did, actually, we cleaned out feedlot pens and set up stockpiles last November, November 9th. We had four treatments, chlortetracycline, sulfamethazine, Tylosin, and control, so manure that from animals that weren't fed any antibiotics. Two replicates with eight stockpiles. We had roughly about 3 metric tons of wet manure at a water content of 62%. Our stockpiles were 2.4 meters wide, the same high and same long and 1.2 meters high. We sampled manure at day zero, so at setup of the stockpiles, and then days 8, 17, 28, 56, and 77. And then those manure samples were analyzed for antimicrobials. So day 77 brought us up to January 25th. So this was sort of a fall over winter study. So sort of simulating manure that would have been cleaned out in the fall of pens, stockpiled, and then land applied the following spring. We sampled at three locations in the stockpile, the bottom, middle, and top. Because they're stockpiles, we try to minimize disturbance when we're sampling for antimicrobials. We don't want to aerate the stockpiles because that kind of defeats the purpose. So we had mesh nylon bags filled with the manure, and then these were attached to baler twine, which were pulled from the stockpiles at the sampling dates. We also measured temperatures with thermocouples at the three locations in our stockpiles. In terms of lab analysis in Saskatoon, 1 gram of freeze-dried manure was extracted by accelerated solvent extraction. The ace conditions, 75 degrees C, 1500 psi. The extractant citric acid buffer and methanol citric acid buffer. And then the ace extracts were diluted with water and subjected to solid phase extraction. These are the cartridges that were used, the weak cation exchange cartridge and the hydrophilic lipophilic balance cartridge. And the elutions were with methanol and methanol formic acid. And then the antimicrobial analysis was by LC-MS-MS. Looking at some of the results, first of all, these are the temperatures in our stockpile, and we're looking at the middle location. And you can see here that very rapidly we increased up to above 60 degrees C. Within 48 hours, actually, our stockpiles had increased in temperature up to 60 Celsius. And then this is typical, the decline of temperature over time in stockpiles. And you can see here that our ambient air temperature, this is late November last year, we got down to very cold temperatures, minus 25 degrees C for ambient air temperature in Lethbridge. The thing I wanted to point out actually was the differences. This is the average temperature at our middle location over the different treatments. And you can see here our control treatment was about 10 degrees warmer on average than our chlortetracycline and the CTC-SMZ mix. So there may be some indication that the presence of these antimicrobials is basically inhibiting temperature in the stockpiles. And since the temperatures are microbially driven, there may be some antimicrobial effect there. In terms of dissipation of the individual antimicrobials, we can see here our initial concentrations, CDC, were quite high, above 5,000, dropped rapidly and very low here later on. Sulfamethazine, we had a low initial concentration, but then by day 8 it was higher and then dropped off. In terms of fitting some relationships to these dissipation curves here, our CTC, we're looking at an exponential decay, so quite rapid initially, and we've worked out a half-life from these equations, 1.8 days for CTC alone, 6 days when it's in a mixture with SMZ. So you may remember that we got up to 60 degrees C within 2 days, so 1.8 days there for CDC, so very rapid degradation may be caused by those higher temperatures. In terms of sulfamethazine dissipation in the stockpiles, we log transformed the data, and you can see here our initial low value, 6.5, so on a log scale, and then a linear decline over time. A non-significant relationship there, R squared of 0.2, and so it's non-significant. However, if we dropped that value from day 0 and started day 8, we were actually able to get a half-life of 18 days for that sulfamethazine. So we're not quite sure why we had that initial low value of sulfamethazine. And I think that's one of the things we found from this experiment, was that we need to bump up our sampling frequency in the early stages of the stockpiles. We had a day 0 and a day 8. And we're doing further trials, actually, where we're sampling basically every 2 days for the first 2 weeks to see what's happening here, because it seems like a lot of the dissipation is occurring very earlier on. In terms of conclusions, then, we did find that the presence of antimicrobials may inhibit stockpile heating. And we have done some work, too, on the dissipation during composting of antimicrobials. And we had similar findings that there was the presence of the antimicrobials may have actually inhibited the heating of compost windrows. So this is something we want to look further at. Dissipation of chlortetracycline was rapid. Whether present alone, it was actually faster. Even in combination with SMZ, it was about 6 days. Dissipation of sulfamethazine was somewhat slower. We got a half-life of 18 days. Our dissipation of chlorotetracycline, we figure, may occur via various pathways, microbial, which would be related to generation of heat, enzymatic chemical degradation, versus sulfamethazine, the slower dissipation may be that the degradation is by one pathway, which could be microbial. Tylosin, as mentioned, was present in much lower concentrations, only about 100 micrograms per kilogram in the initial manure. As mentioned, I think we need to increase our sampling frequency in the first 10 days of stockpiling to better capture the dissipation versus time relationships. And compared to spreading raw manure, we feel that stockpiling can reduce antimicrobial loadings to agricultural land. And it's a very common practice in the feedlots, actually, because lots of times, especially after winter, our soils are quite wet due to snow melt in April and May. So oftentimes the pens are cleaned out and the manure is simply placed in stockpiles for land application later on in the growing season. So with that, I'll wrap it up. Just like to acknowledge our funding source from SAGES. It's an environmental research initiative with Ag Canada as part of our Growing Forward, and also technical assistance. Thank you very much.
Good time for a few questions. Joe?
I think it might have been interesting to follow degradation of these compounds in a sample that was not allowed to compost. Did you consider doing that?
We didn't, actually. That is a good point. So simply just captured and placed in a container or something like that, or
yes, in maybe a constant temperature.
Okay.
Chamber,
yeah, I think that would be a good thing to add to the experiment. Yeah.
I was just wondering about your day zero, the low concentrations you had at day zero.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a lot of variability?
There is, yeah. The material is quite, as you know, manure is quite variable anyway, so I didn't have the error bars on there, but there was quite a bit of variability, but I think it was around about 2,500 micrograms per kilogram on day zero, and then it sort of bumped up quite a bit on day eight. So I think this was just a very simple, I think, first look at things. So like I say, we're going to repeat this experiment and sort of do more sampling early on, because I think we may have sort of missed some of what was happening by not having enough samples early on.
If I could follow up, so do you know what your extraction efficiencies are with the A system?
It was Danny Degenhart, the lead author, did all the extractions. So I think they're up 60-70%. Does that sound about right?
So to get the manure into your bags.
Yeah.
Did you just take some?
Yeah, we took some from the general.
Did you homogenize it all first so you?
Yeah, basically it was cleaned out of the pens and then we sampled and placed in the mesh bags. Because it's, like I say, if you want to have stockpiled conditions, you don't want to be introducing air into the stockpile. So we were able to retrieve those bags and attach the baler twine later on. So.
Any other questions?